All right, thank you, Renee. All we all should want to draw closer to the Lord, amen. If you notice tonight and this morning also, they had some patriotic music. We are a church that loves God and country in that order. And we love our country. We don't love the crowd that's trying to destroy it. But we do love our country, and I think that it's okay to let that be known, even in church. Now, tonight, I'm going to do maybe a little bit more teaching instead of preaching, but I'm sure I won't cover all I'd like to cover. I never do. Somebody says the preacher loves to preach on New Year's watch night service because he can preach all year, all year long and into the next. Well, a little joke there. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. You know, there's a lot of puzzle, a lot of mystery going on about what is going on today. And I fear that even good people, God's people, Christians, oftentimes don't really see behind the scenes what is taking place. Now, I'm in the danger zone tonight of saying some things that might offend somebody. I generally don't let it stop me, but there are institutions in this world that are undercover, so to speak, in their real motive and their real purpose and what they're trying to do. And to expose them sometime, because people that support it don't really understand what they're into. And I may hit on some of that. You pray that I don't go too far on it, but Revelation chapter 17 has 18 verses in it. And if you want to know what's going on, you have to go to the Bible. That's where you're going to get the truth. That's where you're going to get the covers pulled off and where the light's going to shine. And so if you're going to really find out some things, that's the place to go. As we look on the scene today and see all the division and all the conflict and all the trouble that's going on and all the hatred that seems to grow and grow, you'll get a little more of an idea if you see what the Bible has to say about it. I said something to you at the end of the sermon or the invitation this morning. I said something to you about the clash of kingdoms, and that's what is going on. In the chapter that we'll read here, and it's going to be hard for me to read it without too much comment. In fact, I don't even think I'll try. I think I'll come in as I go. But you find a clash of kingdoms. We live in a day and time when the climax is close to coming as to which kingdom the world is going to be governed by. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus predicted the end times and the tribulation period coming, the bad time that'd be the greatest trouble the world had ever seen in those 7 years. He said kingdom would rise against kingdom. Now, you know, in early years, kingdoms, we had the world kingdoms, and the book of Daniel prophesied all of them in advance, and we understand that. And the last world kingdom that is really recognized as one was the kingdom of Rome, but Rome fell. And if you want to read about it, you get Gibeon's history on it, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. And brother, that is informative. That is something you ought to know about. The same exact things that brought that empire down is bringing America down now. And while we're not a world kingdom in a way we are, the world looks to America for leadership. Basically look to us to pay most of their bills, amen? And we understand that. But there is a conflict of kingdoms, and if you want to know what's going on, you have to look behind the scenes, and the Bible gives you behind the scenes, and it tells you without compromise, without fear, to tell the truth, it does. So we're going to go to chapter 17, and we're going to look at this, the Bible in the book of Revelation. Much of it you take very literal. Much of it is a picture, which really, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, it is true in the book of Revelation. It symbolizes truth more so than you could hardly put into words sometimes. And when you get a hold of that just right, it'll show you this. And basically, behind the struggle of kingdoms is the devil and God. And that's it. However it's manifest on earth by this organization or this institution, still you'll understand if you dig behind it which force is motivating and moving that particular group. And Satan does want to have his kingdom. From the Garden of Eden on, he has been in a struggle with God over who was going to rule over planet earth. We'll move into that, but in Revelation 17, we have the vision that John here that gives to us. And as we go through here, we can learn more than probably time will allow tonight. But it says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment." Now, it's the judgment. What's going to come? Well, God's judgment. "Of the great whore that setteth upon many waters." That's many nations, and it defines that here in the chapter. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Now we're going to identify these things. We're going to identify the woman, the scarlet colored beast. We're going to identify the seven heads and the ten horns as you read on into the chapter. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." Now he begins, starting here in verse 8, to identify these different ones. To begin with, he says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." All right, the beast here is none other than the devil himself in this particular form. He is coming out of the pit after he's stored up and bound for 1,000 years, but he ultimately goes into perdition. In the meantime, he is the one behind pulling all the strings. He's the puppeteer pulling all the strings of who is going to dominate and who is going to rule the world. "And so the beast that thou sawest was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." You can read that over about chapter 9 in Revelation. "And go into perdition." You finally find where he's cast into the lake of fire if you study the whole book of Revelation. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is." I want to say to you, you and I have no business wondering. We have the Bible. Our names are written in his book. And so you and I, as God's people, of all people on this earth today, ought to be more informed than anybody else. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you read, you study the Word of God, God will help you to see, and you'll understand a lot more about the 630 news when you have the Bible inside to measure it by. Amen. Guarantee you that you will. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Now we'll discover that it's a great city that ruleth over the kings of the earth. "And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space." You folks that are familiar with your Bible, it's talking about the Antichrist, the man that the devil is going to empower to come and for a short period rule on planet earth. Maybe not all of it, there's an argument about that, but he's gonna be the one, the satanic man, the Satan incarnate man that's gonna show up, and you're gonna have power for a while. And it says here, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." There's only one city that goes down through history and is recognized in literature and everywhere else as the city that sitteth on seven hills. That's Rome. You should know that. There's other little cities here or there that might can claim Seven Hills one way or the other. But all the literature, all the history speaks of Rome, the city that sits upon Seven Hills. So we got some identification where the woman said it. And seven kings are fallen. One is not come. And he must continue a short time. That'll be the Antichrist. And the one in verse 11, the beast goes into perdition. That's the devil. Now it says the ten horns, verse 12. Which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now you have another book of prophecy, the book of Daniel. We're teaching that in college right now. And the two go hand in glove, the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. And we have a lot of light. Here you have the ten kings. If you were to go over to Daniel about chapter 2, and maybe you can find it quick as I can if you want to, flip back over to Daniel chapter 2, and we'll pick up something on these kings. Now, here's a little thing. It sounds like the Twilight Zone I'm going to read to you, but you need to kind of get hold of it. These kings are they are earthly kings in a sense. They have a title. They have a position. They have an authority. But on top of that, I think they have also a supernatural element. So if you go with me to Daniel chapter 2, how many of you found it? Anybody? Everybody with me tonight? Going to be a long night if you let me stray up here by myself. If I have to keep repeating it because I see you don't get it, that's going to last a while. Daniel's interpreting the dream here in Daniel chapter 2. And the old king had a dream, and Daniel has been called in here to tell it. And so he tells him about the image that he dreamed about. And that image predicted all the kingdoms of the world that would come from the head of gold, which was Babylon, right on down through the Medes and Persians empire, and then down through the Greeks and finally to the Romans. And then down to the legs and to the feet of the image, and the feet with the ten toes, which was iron mixed with clay. And then we read this in Daniel chapter 2 about that. It says in verse 42 of chapter 2, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." Now I want you to watch this verse close now. "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay." Now look at the word "they." "They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." Who is the "they" that mingle themselves with the seed of men? Seed of men, that's natural things. That's reproduction. That's creation. But there's a group here coming, and it's the same ten kings we're reading about in Revelation 17 that's going to show up, and they're going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. I think they have alien... That's what we'd call them today with all the stuff you see on TV about the aliens and so forth. These are going to be satanic aliens that's going to mix with men and empower men that will be the ten kings that's going to rule during this time. And they mix it with the seed of man, but watch what it says. "They will mingle themselves with the seed of man, but," opposite truth now, "they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." It's a misfit. It's a monstrosity. It's not going to work. But this is going to be what the Antichrist is going to use as his kings in Revelation 17 to try to rule the world and take over. And they're going to do it for a short space. They're going to have a little bit of time. And it says in verse 12 of Revelation 17, "The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour under or with," the scripture says, "with the beast," parallel with the beast. "And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb," capital L in your King James Bible, "the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So it begins to identify all the symbolic stuff it's talking about, each part. "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore." Now get the picture. Here's the harlot on the beast. By the way, if you go back in a little bit of history, the beast here is Zeus. He is the European, one of the European gods, Zeus. He was pictured as a bull. And it shows, and you can see all these pictures. If you look through the encyclopedias and other places, you'll see in Europe, you'll see the Europe who's got their name from the woman riding the beast, which her name was Europa, and Europe comes from that name. And she rode the beast, and Zeus was the beast, their god. And obvious picture, you see it today, the European Common Union has the coin with the woman riding upon the beast today. Very much what the Bible already said. Now you got to remember this Bible here in the book of Revelation written over almost 2,000, a little over 2,000 years ago. And yet it's defining exactly what we're seeing coming and materializing today in our news and what we know is going on in the world. So we have this picture here, and notice this, the harlot is on the beast. She has the 10 horns on the beast, which is the kings, and she is ruling over them, but they turn on her. And it's interesting as you read these verses, they hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Here's this last verse. Get it. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, the city that sits on seven hills. Rome is the headquarters of a religion that today you can't hardly speak evil of. Are you in trouble? I want to say to you, there's a lot of folks and a lot of institutions and a lot of mystery religion that don't understand what is going on behind the scenes. And we're in that day and time right now. Let me say this. This thing is going to happen. We saw a preview of it in the news recently. Do you remember? And it's still going on. Even in our state of Florida, the Attorney General is investigating also. But in all these different states where it finally come out that the pedophile priests were getting caught. Anybody remember that in the news? Big time. I said it before, that's a bad doctrine. A doctrine where it says the priest should not marry, it makes a magnet attracting the homosexuals into that group. And child molestation has been covered up and hid for a long time. And what I did notice in the news was all of a sudden secular governments, which have kind of had a conspiracy to look the other way, are suddenly now wanting to do something about it. It almost pictures what you see in the scripture I just read, where the kings, the government, turns on the religious harlot. And that is going to happen in what you and I as believers of the Bible know to be the tribulation period. That is going to come about. That is going to happen. And of course, the satanic kingdom under the Antichrist, they think for a little bit they've got it. He's going to rule and reign. These kings are going to have a rulership for 1 hour. It don't mean a 60-minute hour. It means a short time and a short space here. And this is going to happen. So what I'm saying to you is there's a fight over who's going to rule planet Earth. It's been going on since the Garden of Eden. You trace it through the Bible all the way from Nimrod that built Babylon to start with. You trace the Babylonian religion as it merged and come on, and you've got that kingdom still getting ready for fruitation. And you hear me preach on it all the time. I say what's behind it is globalism. One world government, under the devil, under his hand, not under God's. And that's the clash of the kingdoms that I'm talking to you about tonight. Our day is understood in the light of what I've just read to you right here. This is a future picture. The division, the warfare, the clash, the hatred we see today is all here. It's a supernatural hatred that's going on. We've had elections in America for years. And people disagreed. But then when they voted on somebody and he won, they came together and tried to do the best for the country. That's not happening anymore. I've said to you that what is going on today is a civil war without the bullets. The bullets will come if it keeps going far enough. And that's too bad. Donald Trump, when he got in, exposed the shadow government. It come out of its hiding place. Professional government is a guild. Is that the way you say it? Like the medieval guilds, you can't serve in it if you're not a member. You know what I'm talking about? If you haven't been indoctrinated into its arcane rituals, you aren't in the club, and Trump isn't in the club. He wasn't a politician. He said that. He was a businessman. I'm not going to talk to you about his morals with the women. I don't know. That's between him and God. I hope he got saved since then. Some preachers think so. I don't know. But I know this, God put him in. And God is exposing the shadow government, the deep state. That's very real stuff, folks. And I just read in a chapter very quickly there is the shadow power. It is of the devil. It is a thing that he wants to put in his kingdom, his man, and he wants to reign. The fact that Trump is not in that club, he's brought a lot of division. But I want to say something to you. Division is right when you're dividing from that is wrong. Listen, just to be unified is not the answer. You can't unify right and wrong. You can't unify good and evil. Now, you may put them together, but you don't have unity. You can take a bulldog. Well, no, a bulldog generally has his tail cut off. Let's take some other kind of dog with a tail and a cat and tie their tails together and throw them over the clothesline. Now, you got unity, but you don't have harmony. You understand what I just said to you? And today, everybody thinks, just unify. No, you can't unify with wrong. You're supposed to stand against wrong. Amen? You look around today, and when he got elected, the other crowd said, we're going to get an insurance or policy against him and all this business. And something happened. God upset the apple cart. He threw the monkey wrench into the gears. And that's what all the battle and all the fight is about today. Now, today we're seeing the Antichrist kingdom come together like never before. Look with me in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'll read it to you because I'm in a hurry. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There's an Antichrist spirit John is talking about there. There will be a man that'll fulfill the role as the final man of sin, Satan incarnate, that we call the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist has been in battle over who's going to rule the world from the days of the Bible and before on. And that's what John is talking about, the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we look around today and see a hatred for our Christian foundation. Here we had Veterans Day today, and we're singing patriotic songs, and we're praising God for being in our country and taking us through the wars and taking care of us. But there's a lot of folks don't agree with that now, because the satanic brainwashing has been taking place from kindergarten on up through the universities for a long time, and we are reaping for that today. Today we're hearing mockery everywhere you look. Did you see on Saturday Night Live? I do not watch Saturday Night Live. I see parts of it replayed on the news. Now, that's a sorry bunch as far as I'm concerned. But did you see where this one supposed to be comedian was mocking the vet? The vet that had one eye, had a patch over eye that he'd given an eye in the battle and was almost blind, finally got sight in one eye, and he was running for office, and this comedian on Saturday Night Live showed his picture and mocked him. That could have never happened in the old America. Never could have happened before this spirit of Antichrist moved in upon the scene. And it is a terrible, terrible spirit. It's against our founding Christian foundation. And the overthrow of capitalism today, the effort to do that. What's his name? Bernie Sanders? Is that the socialist? Is that his name? Did you hear what he said? He said the problem today was old white Christian men. By the way, that's exactly what he is, except he's not a Christian. That's amazing. The trouble in America is us old white Christian men. I got news for him. If it wasn't for these old white Christian men that worked hard and laid a foundation in this country, he wouldn't have the freedom if the vets hadn't went over there and fought the war to even say such a stupid thing. But that's where we're at today. The political mindset, we got two parties today. At least one of them has been shanghaied, and the other one somewhat. We had a few in there. By the way, in the election, they lost the House because so many of the Republicans retired or quit. And yet, in this election, we'd love to see it go better, but at the same time, they lost less members in the House than the last several presidents have. So there's an amazing thing. There's an amazing thing going on in spite of all the media and all the propaganda. They still can't seem to quite get control. And that's what's happening. The political mindset on the platforms today, any Christian ought to compare who's for killing the babies and who's not. Who's for elevating the homosexuals and who's not. They ought to be thinking about who is for the old work ethic of earning your way, keeping what you earn, and owning property. And they ought to be, you ought to be very clear on who's for the Second Amendment rights of keeping your guns. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you today. You say, but I don't like the other guy. I don't care whether you like him or not. What does he stand for? What are the issues? We ought to be wise to that. We've had a loss of moral character in our country. And I want to say to you young people, when we preach at the church and when we have rules in the day school, when we're trying to elevate character and morality, you ought to get on the right side of that. You ought to stop griping about it. My dress has got to be long enough, or my hair's got to be short enough, or something else. Those rules are for your good and for the good of our country to preserve it until your grandkids come up, if the Lord gives you that much time. You ought to be on the right side of things. Fight for standards, decent living, that sort of thing. We see too much going on today. Loss of moral character shows up when they'll lie about the votes, create the votes, create frame-ups, and do all of that sort of stuff. If the power that comes in, if the Bernie Sanders socialism leading to communism, leading to dictatorship, if it comes in, we're going to lose the middle class. You and I are the middle class. We're the ones that expect to work, bring in a paycheck, pay the bills, live a decent life and a moral life. That's the crowd that will go into poverty. And the higher-ups, like they did in Russia, like they did in Cuba, and you name the rest of them, the South American countries, all they do is rule, and you got one class, the poor class, that's left because they don't have a chance to earn their way and keep what they earn. That's the problem there. Today we're seeing a visible Antichrist spirit. It's dangerous times, folks. There's some war ahead, and I'm going to read something to you here, and I'm debating on it just a little bit. This letter was for a long time in the British Museum. You could go in and see it. A lot of stuff have been cleaned out now because it's not politically correct anymore by the trend of being against anything godly. This letter is from a fellow by the name of, it's written back in, 1870-something. And there's many, many other writings. This is just a short piece. I cut it out of a magazine that I get here. And it tells how the plan, the satanic plan to take over the world is moving. Now, you need to understand something. There's competition, even though Satan is behind it all. There's competition where Satan will use a religious institution to come to power. He'll also use other institutions. And this one is generally considered not a religious institution, and some of you may get mad at me when you figure it out. Go home and get you a cold drink and wash your face and forget it. Here's a letter from Albert Pike. He is pretty much the founder and the early promoter of the Scottish Freemason organization. Now, the Masons may do some good here and there, but there's a lot of good guys and a lot of Southern redneck boys. They think that's great. I want to tell you something. If they just went high enough in it, and if they just pulled the curtain back and they looked, I had a lady at the door the other Sunday morning come out, and she said, I got my eyes open. My husband had a big Masonic Bible. I'll give it to you. I said, well, I really don't want it. She said, well, I'm going to burn it. I said, I think that's a good idea. And it is, if you understand what's behind that. I went to Bible college. I know some good preachers that are Masons. And I think they are good preachers of the Word of God, but they were deceived in that area. And we had arguments, students, listen to me. We had arguments in our seminary with some like that. You need to dig deep in to get behind that thing. That's one of the institutions that has a plan for the world. You're going to tell me, well, George Washington was a Mason. That's an area he was pretty dumb in. Help yourself. I thought I'd make a few mad tonight. Washington, D.C. is laid out on the Masonic plan. By the way, you know, fire me. That's the best thing you could do for me. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. You need to dig in behind some of this stuff. You say, Daddy was one, so what? Uncle was one, so what? They didn't know what I'm telling you tonight, and they should know it. I'll get back to the letter here by Albert Pike, and you'll see, and I'm not going to read it all for time's sake, but you'll see a little bit how this is a prediction, a plan that he had laid out, and it's moved through, and there's a lot of cover on it, a lot of deception. But he said, we'll unleash the atheists. We'll provoke a great social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to all nations the effect of absolute atheism. Well, that sounds good. We're against the atheists, right? Wait a minute. The origin of savagery and bloody turmoil, and everywhere people are forced to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, that's why we face it now, will exterminate. All of a sudden now, the good people will have had enough, he says, and they'll exterminate these atheists, these destroyers of civilization. And then he says, and the multitudes will become disillusioned with Christianity. That's what you got on Saturday Night Live. That's what you got on all the comedy shows, is to get folks disillusioned with Christianity. And that's happening big. He says, whose deistic spirits will be far from that moment on without direction and leadership. Stay with me now. Anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to send its adoration. Here it comes. Will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Lucifer's behind it. In Isaiah 14, you read about Lucifer. You want to flip over there? Lucifer wanted to put his throne above the throne of God, remember? Do you know that some of your new Bible versions give a salute to Lucifer? If you go to Isaiah 14, hit Jeremiah, go to your left. Pick it up, because I want to read just a verse or two of it. Go over there, and I'm going to come back to the letter here. He's saying they're going to come, we're going to move through this thing to where Christianity will be disillusioned, it'll fade out, and the true light, the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, is finally out into public view. I'm going to tell you something about that in just a minute. Isaiah chapter 14, you have the story of Lucifer. Now, he wants to set his throne above God's throne. God throws him down, and you have his end described here in Isaiah 14. I'm going to jump in at it at verse 9. Talking to Lucifer now. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. By the way, he doesn't rule in hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Remember that. It says here, it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. Who is it, chief ones of the earth? The leadership, the government, the rulers, the kings. It says the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they, the kings, shall speak and say unto thee, unto Lucifer now, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm, is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. And here's verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? Most of you know the word Lucifer means light bearer. And you have the new versions of the Bible taking 2 Peter 1:19, where Jesus is called the day star. They take Revelation 22:16, where Jesus is called the morning star. And they take the word Lucifer out here in Isaiah 14, and they call him the morning star. They're putting him in the place of Jesus. Say, that preacher's nuts over new versions. I sure am. When you mess with the Bible and change the truth like that and take the word Lucifer out, the word sodomite was taken out of the King James by, of the NIV translating committee. And here they're changing and giving the title that belongs to Jesus to Lucifer. There's a big deception going on, folks. A big deception. Now I'm back to Albert Pike's letter here. He says that Lucifer is the true light and the pure doctrine of Lucifer. It'll finally come in public view, a manifestation which will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity. He goes on about it. He says we'll move through Middle East wars. Isn't that amazing? He wrote that in 1870. And that's in our news for how long now? Been in Iraq, what, 15, 16 years already? And he's writing, this is the plan, this is the plan, this is what he's saying. A war in the Middle East, and here's something you better pray about. I've said something about the president. Some of you may like that or not. You ought to pray for him because there's a trap being set for him. And the trap is whether or not we wind up in a big war. And you would be surprised. The liberals you think are against war, no, they're not. They use war for their ends, to bring in the chaos. And I'm hoping Donald Trump and others don't fall for it. Right now, Mr. Putin, as bad as he is, and the KGB agent that he was, he seems to be kind of withholding, but you can't push even a rabbit into the corner finally without him fighting. And we're pushing hard. And Ezekiel 38 says it's going to happen. Russia is going to come. God will destroy them on the mountains of Israel. That's the Bible. That's the prediction. It will happen. But I'll tell you what, we are in a dangerous situation right now because there is a conspiracy that wants to move through these things, including war, to bring in the kingdom of Lucifer. And that's the plan. Now, some of you, I said something there about the Masons. I want to go a little further on it. My son told me something, and I hope I can use this without making him mad about it. But he knows a businessman that worked his way up in the lodge, in the Masonic lodge. And then he got out of it. He got out of it because he was a Christian. He was not necessarily a good regular church Bible believing, but he had gotten enough in his Christian background. As they continued to take him up step by step, degree by degree, finally to the place that now he's getting close into the leadership and the hierarchy, and now he begins to understand what they're fixing to do is introduce him to the real God, Lucifer. And there's been many a fellow that got that high and learned and got out of it. Many others still in it. And all that's a doctrine. Oh, they even use Bible verses. They go back to Hiram that Solomon used in building the temple and all that kind of stuff. And it's clever and it's powerful and it has Satan's breath on it. And finally, to the place that you transfer from the real morning star, from the Lord Jesus Christ, to Lucifer. And that's what's behind all that we don't understand today, the struggle and the clash of the kingdoms, Satan's and God's. Satan will have it for a little while, but he loses. Thank God he loses. Amen. Ah, you remember what Satan did. You heard one of the conference speakers refer to it. When Jesus was baptized, he went out in the wilderness. It's called the wilderness of temptation there, where Satan appeared to him and told him, said, get up on the temple and cast yourself down. And God said, the angels will take care of you. And Jesus said, the Lord said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He told him, turn the stones into bread, and Jesus wouldn't obey Satan. And Satan said, if you'll just bow down and bow down to me, I'll give you all the what kingdoms of the world. See, it's about a kingdom. It's about a kingdom. Today, what you're seeing has got a big cover on it. It's a struggle over which kingdom is going to rule the world. Now, I got good news for you. I know which one it is. Do you ever pray the so-called Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven"? You ever pray that? That's the kingdom that Jesus is going to set up. In Revelation 19, he brings the armies of heaven. I plan to be in that army. I'm going to ride on a horse behind Jesus. He's going to put down the armies of the world. He's going to set up his kingdom. In Matthew 25, he's going to call the nations together. He's going to judge them. And he's going to set up his rule and reign on planet Earth. Psalms 2 says he's going to sit on Zion's hill. I read over in Revelation chapter 22. Did I read that a while ago? I'm not sure. Go over chapter 21, maybe it is. Revelation. Turn over there. I was in chapter 17. I didn't hardly get time to finish that. You're not listening fast enough. Revelation 21. Pick it up in verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the kingdom of the Lord. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. That's what he's saying here. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Oh, I like this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither that whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The nations that are saved. Zechariah, if you wanted to go to the book of Zechariah, we'd go over there and we'd pick it up in about chapter, let me read it to you for time's sake, chapter 14. By the way, chapter 14 of Zechariah is where it describes a nuclear blast. You can't get an encyclopedia that'll describe a nuclear blast as good as you can chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah. A nuclear bomb that fell on Japan. You know the results. They're written up everywhere. Get Zechariah 14 and compare it, and you'll find out that's exactly what God is talking about here in Zechariah 14. But in verse 16 of the chapter, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, everyone that's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, that's the group, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's going to be a pile of nations that's going to be defeated by the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon when he comes to set up his kingdom. Some will be left. Some will be called goat nations. Some will be called sheep nations, depending on how they've treated the brethren. And it's talking about the Jewish brethren at that particular context right there. Well, what should we do? Dangerous days are coming. What should we do? Pick which kingdom you want to submit to. I've already picked one. It belongs to Jesus. It don't belong to Lucifer. It belongs to Jesus. It's amazing to me how folks today want to mix up everything. I want to give you a piece of advice. I believe you ought to join the Lord's church. It's an institution that will stand it all and will last till he comes back. I didn't say religion. I said the Lord's church. There's religious institutions out there the devil is using, big time. There's all kind of groups, politically and otherwise, the devil is using. I've had folks say, come join this and come join that. And I say, you know, I got more to do in what I've already joined, and that's the church. I'm not going to spread myself thin on something that's not as important as the Lord's work. Amen. Help yourself on that. But I'm just telling you, you stay out of a lot of trouble. Man creates a lot of stuff, and men join it and don't even know what they're joining or what it represents or what is behind the wall on it. Kingdom showdown's coming, folks. It is coming. Man's rebellion against God is used of the devil to build his one world kingdom. And he wants worship. Isn't that what he told Jesus? Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdom's world. The devil is a god in the sense he wants worship. He wanted to set his throne above God's throne. And as Lucifer there, God said, I'm going to bring you down to hell, and the kings you've deceived are going to say, are you as weak as us? What happened to you? Here you are in the same fix we are. You misled us. Boy, there's a pile of false religions, political and otherwise groups, that's going to really be disappointed when they're cast into the lake of fire and their leader is made as weak as them, and he's added to them. Book of Revelation tells you that he'll be finally cast into the lake of fire. Satan uses man's rebellion to build his one world kingdom. Today we preach the gospel, free gospel. We tell how Jesus died for our sins, how we can be saved if we trust him. And we become a part. In a sense, we're part of his kingdom now, but the kingdom's not here, folks. It'll only be here when the king comes back and sets it up. And then the world is going to find out who is who. If you were to go over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, you'd find out a little statement that's quite interesting. I often thought about this a little bit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he said, verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only, get the word only, potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sit on a throne and call yourself a pope if you want to. Jesus is the high potentate. Sit on the throne and call yourself king, president, anything else you want to. Jesus is the one. And one day, the glory that belongs to him. The Bible says there will be a time coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father, and the kingdom will be his. And I'm looking forward to that day because I see all that's pushing and developing and all the deception and the counterfeiting and the foolishness that's going on. But I look behind it. I look behind it and I see the devil pulling the strings. And you'd be surprised right now how many people on planet Earth think that Lucifer is the high God. But he's not. He's going to be cast down to the pit, just like the Bible says. If you got a little bit of what I said, and if you get into the Bible and get more of it, you'll understand why the hatred is what it is today, why the blindness is what it is today, why the deception is what it is today. It's a satanic, supernatural, but it's the underworld of the other world, brother. It's not the power of God. It's the power of the devil motivating and moving on planet Earth today. All right, let's stand. Father, we realize we probably muddied the water for some, and some don't understand, and they just think it's a normal thing going on. They don't understand the crisis is building. The time is short. Jesus is coming back. He's coming for the saved, and then the devil is going to have a short period of time to reign, and then the Lord is going to come back and put him down and set up his kingdom. Thank you, Father, that we've read the back of the book and we know who wins. Thank you, Father, that we can be on your side because we've received your Son that died for our sins. We've received him as our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that he loved us and died for us that we could have eternal life. Have the gift of salvation that he's already paid for. Bless the invitation tonight, Father. This kind of message, I don't know what might have happened in somebody's heart. Maybe they had a little light break. I hope so. Maybe they need to come for a burden separate from anything we said tonight. I don't know. But I know you give them the promise of prayer, and I know that you are with us. And I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and whatever our personal need is. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll give an invitation. If you're not saved, we can certainly take a Bible and show you how to be saved when you leave here tonight. If you have a car wreck or something else, you could be with the Lord. Have the assurance of being ready to die. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.